It's like a leaf pile and smells like pumpkin spice gone wrong.
That's not pumpkin spice, Bob. That's old French fries.
Ah, can you fix that?
Absolutely. The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop scrubs, shines, and polishes any vehicle inside and out.
Even mine?
Especially yours. We'll make it look brand new. No rake required.
Finally, my car won't double as a compost pile.
Fall into clean at the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop. Gift certificates are perfect for holidays, or get your ride protected before winter hits.
Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, October 6th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. With me this morning is the director of Dementia Friendly Wyoming at the Hub on Smith here in Sheridan, Heather Comstock. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Heather, for listeners who may not be familiar with it, can you explain what Dementia Friendly Wyoming does for people here?
So in our community, we are attentive to the fact that people are living with forms of dementia, and the department, Dementia Friendly Wyoming, within the Hub on Smith is a direct support for anyone who suspects they're starting to have some symptoms of a form of brain change, people that have been living with it for many years, and even people that are looking for resources, you know, towards the later progressive states, you know, trying to get ready for hospice and other things. So we look to support families and individuals living with dementia at any point in their journey.
Now, how does the organization work to make Sheridan and other Wyoming communities more supportive for people living with these, well, I guess you could say dementia, because there's a couple different diseases that cause this?
So you bring up a good point. You know, when I'm talking with folks, I'm sometimes listening for the word that's most comfortable to them. So if they feel comfortable with the dementia word, I'll use that. But they might feel more comfortable with if they have a actual diagnosis. So if we consider the umbrella, dementia is all the symptoms. If you've gone to a medical professional and you've got a diagnostic workup, you might have an actual label for what you're dealing with. You might know that you have Alzheimer's, or you might know that what you're going through because of your symptomology is frontotemporal dementia. You could also be living with Lewy body dementia. You might have some heart issues or some blood flow issues, so you might have vascular dementia. So when we're thinking about supporting people specifically in our counties and surrounding areas, we're thinking about, you know, if a person doesn't really know what's going on, but they have some general symptoms and they're wondering, you know, we have some resources we can look at, a checklist to help them see how they might be different from how they were years ago. But if they actually know they have a diagnosis, then we can look specifically at what are some of those symptoms that that person might be living with so that we can help that person as an individual adapt to the changes, but more importantly, help their family learn how to adapt to the changes. Because if you're living with a form of brain change, you can't always help the way you are, and that can be pretty frustrating to a family that needs more information to understand how to adjust to you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so dementia is just the umbrella term over top of many different
exactly
causes.
It's a huge, it's just, these are the symptoms we're seeing. And I think one of the more interesting things about it right now is that you could have some signs of brain change that could be reversible. I mean, you could have some other issues that with a proper medical workup, you might notice you have some, like a vitamin deficiency, or you have, you know, some other thing that could be supported. Like you might have some sort of infection. There's any number of things. I think one of the most interesting things about our community is we've been working at this for some 9 years. And so we're really at a different trajectory than some other communities. And let me unpack that for just a minute. Many people are noticing some changes. very early on, and they might go to a professional to get a workup, and they might be told they have something called mild cognitive impairment. Now, at that point in the journey, there's, you know, an acknowledgement. Yes, things are different. You're different than your baseline. And you might stay in that section, or in a couple years, you could progress further on to another diagnosis. So just for visual sake, don't put mild cognitive impairment under the umbrella of dementia. Put it to the side. Now, if your condition is such that it's going to progress, then in a couple years, you might get another diagnostic, which shows, okay, the part of your brain that's changing fits that label Alzheimer's, or you're showing symptoms of frontotemporal dementia. So the aha I've had in the last 2 months is that, wow, when you work really hard as a community, you actually enter work and you're noticing changes possibly before your doctor does. And this could be a little bit frustrating for people who want an answer, who want certainty. And so when they come to me, I do not diagnose. I am not that kind of a doctor. I am in a doctorate program, but I'm not a medical doctor. But the idea here is, how do we support someone who is living with uncertainty? And so I have a resource right now developed by the National Council of Dementia Minds, a group of doctors who are living with dementia, who created their own assessment. Yeah, so this is what's so cool. Wow. So in the last 2 years, we finally have this resource where if you came in, Floyd, and you said, I'm starting to notice some things, and I'd say, okay, Floyd, so what is it that's troubling you? And you might say, you know what? I'm really having trouble paying attention. I'd say, okay, do you have time if we look through this checklist together, or you take it home and fill it out and we'll bring it back to me and we'll have a conversation. And from that point, you might be able to have a better conversation with yourself and therefore your practitioner about some things you're seeing.
Wow, yeah. And it's not little things that individuals end up kind of noticing as they're going along, because we all misplace the car keys, mm-hmm. right? We all forget something when we walk through the doorway, things like that. This is much bigger, isn't it?
Well, in the last 6 months, you know, if you spend enough time thinking about something, you have these moments, light bulb moments, right? And by way of this document from the National Council of Dementia Minds, you know, they really focus on 7 different domains, and one of them is attention and concentration. And to your point, what I realized was, you know, I had not really been noticing how important, if you can't pay attention, maybe you can't concentrate. And if you can't concentrate, you're going to have trouble building memories. If you can't pay attention and you can't concentrate, you might have trouble going through a sequential task. If you can't pay attention and concentrate, you might have trouble learning, but also unlearning. So think of every time our phone updates. Sometimes we have to relearn things on our phone. And oftentimes, not being able to relearn a task can be really frustrating and an initial symptom that kind of gets people's attention.
Yeah, yeah. And so they take that information, and after speaking with you, kind of get all the ducks in a row. And then you can take that to your doctor and have a better understanding or a better baseline of where to start that conversation from.
That is the hypothetical. That's the hypothesis. Yes.
Okay. What's the practice?
We're testing that hypothesis right now. I'm in grad school, right? So last semester, I spent all 3 major classes developing papers around this checklist, because I was trying to work out, how do you do this as a community? How do you take this document that people living with dementia thought earnestly about and created as a service to other people? And so what I'm seeing now is, it's more of a conversational starter. And it's really good for the first 10 years. But if you have so many symptoms, it's not necessarily, you know, good for as you're progressing, if you become nonverbal and as things really progress. This checklist is designed for early symptomology. And so if you have a couple checks in a couple different areas, you can say, oh, these are the areas that, yes, I'm seeing some change. And if we do it again a year later, you can see, oh, this is how I've changed in a year.
Okay.
Say, now, these are just the things I'm working out.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize that this is actual document that a family can use to assess from year to year, because it can be really hard to tell what's changed objectively.
Yeah.
And in addition, I think what this allows us to do is it allows people to, families that are really good communicators are comfortable having this conversation, a family member will take a copy of this, and then a person noticing changes will take a copy, and they'll both fill out the checklist, thinking about, what are the changes we're noticing with the person who's got some symptoms. And then they'll compare notes. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Because sometimes when you're living with, you know, changes, brain changes, you may not have insight about them. And so this can be a situation where a person living with change can have another conversation with their family and say, oh, you had some of the things on your checklist. I didn't realize you were seeing these things, these other additional things I was unaware of.
Interesting. And I don't, you know, I'm sure a lot of people out there very much like me, where there's, we'll call it a streak of stubbornness, mm-hmm. where for the longest time, after certain events in my life, I would forget various things, and I felt something was going on, and but I remained pretty quiet about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want other people to worry about me, things like that, but it was my wife who noticed. Mm-hmm. And so from that, you know, something that I was trying to conceal, I wasn't doing a very good job of, but it started a conversation, which then transferred over to a conversation with my doctor. And we ended up getting a good result, nothing negative, but it was a concern that I was trying to hide. Do you see that quite a bit with folks? You know, maybe it's pride, maybe it's just being stubborn. Hey, this isn't happening to me.
Yeah, of course, and why not? I mean, this is the scariest thing that most people can think about. I wanted to make a quarter turn on the previous thing I talked about. And you can redirect me back to your question. The checklist really offers us the opportunity to not just see what the deficits are or to see what's going on kind of sideways. It gives us an opportunity to think constructively about what supports we need to put in place or we could put in place to deal with the shame, the embarrassment, the frustration of changes. And yes, people are resistant to seeking support. I mean, I'm no different. If I would have trouble seeking support if I didn't know who to go to or what questions to ask. And that's part of the initial conversation with me is you don't have to know what to ask. We're just going to have a conversation. We're going to sort out what's important to you. What is your value system? What matters to you in this moment? What hurts or what's the pinch point you'd like to work on? You know, those two questions can get us, you know, into the next, what are we going to talk about next time? I think there's a rugged individualism in our culture, which makes perfect sense. And I think there's a lot of things we can do on our own. But this particular situation, this can create depression. This can create a type of uncertainty where people don't feel comfortable being around other people because they don't know if they'll be judged or, I don't want to say made fun of, but thought less of. And so when I think about what are the barriers to getting support, I feel like our community has done a remarkable job and of facing this. And I will say again, because in the last 2 months, we're not having conversations about people that are 5, 10, 15 years into this. Now I have people walking up to me saying, I think something's happening and I want to have this conversation now so that I know how I want to talk to my medical practitioner about what I'm seeing. And that is a remarkable shift. We've gone from, I don't want to talk about this to, I want to talk about this and I want to have a constructive conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I need knowledge so that I can feel better about this situation instead of denial.
Right.
again, you know, the denial portion, I think, would really kind of crash down on me. It's my family that would actually have to do something about it. And for our families and caregivers, what are some of the main benefits for reaching out to your team and guidance? Because I think the only thing... I don't know. I haven't had to go through that with a family member, but I know people who have, and it's tough. It is so tough on them.
Yes.
So what's the benefit for other family members coming to you and your team and sitting down?
Yes. So whether it's an individual living with change and they notice it or it's their family, the benefit of, first I'll pop out real quick to the benefit of coming to the hub in general. Oh my gosh, right? You can sign up for meals. Sometimes cooking for yourself is, it gets challenging, or it's just, is your, you know, you don't always want to make every meal. There's, you know, home delivered meals. There's meals you can have at the hub. There's a National Family Caregiver Program that's also dedicated to families, caregivers, and providing resources. And they have support groups. In fact, today from 9:30 to 11, they have their Monday support group. There's Goose Creek Transit. When you're living with this condition, you as the individual living with it or your family might be negotiating, when are you going to stop driving for safety reasons? There's also the fun and wellness. You know, many people meet us early on because they start joining the fun and wellness program. There's 9 a.m. Boom and 10 a.m. Boom, and they have this wonderful fun friend group, and then they have coffee afterward. So we're building community and socialization. And really the idea that, okay, Dementia Friendly Wyoming, we're kind of the newest kids on the block. Well, at that point, my whole purpose is to help you have a deeply uncomfortable conversation. And we don't even have to know how it's going to go. We can just say, what's on your mind? This is actually how it usually starts. What's on your mind? Where would you like to start? And sometimes they'll say, well, I'm really concerned about my finances, or maybe they've been scammed, or maybe we're having trouble cooking, or there's a frustration in communication and emotional connection. And so the benefit of the family is, A, you don't have to do this on your own.
Yeah.
B, if I don't have the answer, don't worry, I'll look it up. We'll have this conversation in another way where we can talk about what is the problem, why is it happening, who in your support circle should be involved, and how are we going to attend to this? Those four questions are the four questions that are in my mind at all times. And really, it's driving toward layered support. Are we in a position where we need to assist this person? Do we need to adjust ourselves to support this person? Or do we need to actually, and this is more progressed when they're, you know, things have more progressed, do we need to adjust ourselves as family or the environment? And so, you know, we're constantly thinking about, and this is, you know, this is like 9 years of developing work, and I get so excited about this because I finally feel like we can really talk about principles and foundations. So what is our functionability? What is our can do? What is our desire? What's our motivation? Sometimes people's functionability is fluctuating. Sometimes their motivation has bottomed out. I hear a lot of families say, my person just doesn't want to get off the couch.
They don't want to do anything anymore. Yeah.
But this is part of it. This is exactly, it's not that they're lazy. It's not that they don't want to get off the couch. That is part of the sneaky symptomology.
Wow.
And then lastly, so we've got can-do functionality, we've got may-do, will-do as the motivation, and again, that what are we going to do to change the environment in ourselves to support that person once they can't adapt to us? So the thing that's really interesting, and I hate to sound so excited, but it is really what makes our work different in this community is we are actively figuring out how to move forward in this, whether you're starting your journey, you're in the middle of it, or you're toward the end of, you know, passing on to the other side. Our work is designed to support people in such a way they don't have to navigate uncertainty by themselves. And often we're pushing people back to other resources. We're saying, hey, have you talked to your occupational therapist? Have you talked to your physical therapist? Have you talked to your speech pathologist? If you've got a very sudden sense of confusion and things are just suddenly going sideways, I'm like, wait. Have you talked to your doctor? Is there a urinary tract infection at play? You know, sometimes my job is to bounce people back to other supports.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Dementia Friendly Wyoming at the Hub on Smith right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
If you want some metalwork done, LJ Wright Ironworks and Design can do it. Need railing on your porch or deck? Maybe you'd like a custom bench or a sign. Whether it's inside work or outside, if it requires machining, welding, or ornamental ironwork, LJ Wright Ironworks and Design can do it. We've actually been doing this for more than 25 years, doing quality work that's built to last. Give us a call today, 672-0946. LJ Wright Ironworks and Design, right here in Sheridan.
Hey, Doug, my car looks like a leaf pile and smells like pumpkin spice gone wrong.
That's not pumpkin spice, Bob. That's old French fries.
Can you fix that?
Absolutely. The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop scrubs, shines, and polishes any vehicle inside and out.
Even mine?
Especially yours. We'll make it look brand new. No rake required.
Finally, my car won't double as a compost pile.
Fall into clean at the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop. Gift certificates are perfect for holidays or get your ride protected before winter hits.
Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Save big money on new ceiling lights at Menards. Find your style with our selection of Patriot Lighting ceiling lights. Ceiling lights add atmosphere and style to any space. We have a variety of styles and finishes. Spend $100. Get $15 instant savings on all interior lighting. Shop our huge selection of Patriot Lighting ceiling lights and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. My guest this morning is the dementia-friendly Wyoming at the Hub on Smith director, Heather Comstock. Now, we've been talking about dementia-friendly. We've been talking about some stages let's say there's steps that you can take if you feel that you or a family member, a loved one, may be beginning this journey into brain change. And let's talk about some major successes of dementia-friendly Wyoming. This dementia-friendly Wyoming itself is fairly new, isn't it?
Yes, it's new. We started out with a grant in 2016 to 2021. And then after that, I'm the last remaining staff member dedicated to the department itself. But, you know, I consider that a success in terms of sustainability. It was a federal grant that started some 9 years ago, and the department's still going.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to individuals and walking into the Hub,
mm-hmm.
do they just ask for you, hey, can I speak with Heather Comstock? Or what's the best way to try and make sure that I'm sitting in front of you, whether I be someone who might feel that they're beginning this journey themselves,
yeah.
or if I'm a concerned loved one,
all right.
who may be dealing with someone like me, a little stubborn, and trying to kind of conceal that.
So people will walk in, and often the front staff will say, oh, I think you need to talk to Heather. Or they'll know about me because of a workshop I've given, or their family or their friend will actually bring people in. It's not uncommon for family and friends to make an appointment and they actually attend the appointment with that other person, just so, you know, it's like a warm referral. So usually what happens is they'll call me up or they'll text me or they'll email me and I'll say, let's make an appointment. And sometimes they just have And they're not always in Sheridan County. They could be actually all over the United States. And sometimes I'll just send them a general intro email with some PDFs and some information. But usually we'll have, and sometimes I'll meet people in Walmart, I mean, in Ridley's. I mean, there isn't, and they'll say, hey, I've been thinking about, do you have time? And I'll say, let's make an appointment. The thing I've learned is you have to make an appointment as soon as possible so that it's not, oh, I'll call you when I have time. Let's make an appointment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That way it's set in stone. You're going to be there. This conversation's going to be had, and it's not something that just occurs in passing.
And most people that know me don't necessarily always agree with this, but I'm kind of a shy person. So I actually have had to work to make the next appointment during the first appointment so that we don't lose the thread of work. Because you can do some really good work in one appointment, but you actually need to make that appointment, that next appointment, so that you already have that done. It's just, it's going to happen. So we don't think about it too much and then not call back.
Yeah.
And that's as much on me as anybody else, because I actually have to suggest now, hey, would you like to make your next appointment now, or would you like to call me when you think you're ready?
Yeah, you got to have that little closer at the end, right?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, they always have that kind of pause, and then they go, let's make the next appointment now.
You can see them think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what are some major successes since this has popped up here in Sheridan? I mean, have you seen a lot of folks come through?
Yes, the hub is busy every day, right? It's really busy. And our department has, by last check, I think I've had like 1,300 interactions this year.
Wow.
I mean, and those could be duplicated, but yeah, people are having the conversation and they're having different levels of conversation. Whether we're doing an art program, like Opening Minds Through Art, we have volunteers that are working and learning how to, you know, host art programs, or we're having a workshop, you know, and you asked me about some of my greatest successes. My greatest success this year, and I'm not even kidding, care partners who tell me how to do it better.
Oh, wow.
And I have a funny little story, if I may.
Yeah.
I had a care partner who has actually gone to almost every single workshop I've given since 2016. This means I've given somewhere between 30 and 35 workshops every year for the last 8-9 years. That's a lot of workshops.
That's a lot of workshops.
Which means I have to continually make my content interesting, because I'm trying not to bore this one person to death, right? And if he's listening to this, he knows who he is. And so the one thing that happened recently is, I'm workable, teachable, coachable. Tell me what to do. I am your resource. Everything that happens within the DFW, I'm trying to create based on the feedback from families, professionals, and individuals living with change. So I'm like, tell me what to do. Well, this one day, this guy says, you know what? These handouts, it kind of just gives me a little idea about this handout. And this needs to be a little different. Great, I can do that. And it turns out that my tech in one of my workshops, I was doing a workshop for St. Peter's in September. I did 4 workshops on 4 Saturdays. And on the 3rd workshop, my tech went down. My PowerPoint wasn't working.
Oh, man.
Oh, I was sweating.
Every presenter's worst nightmare.
I was like, oh. And basically, I was able to reverse engineer my PDFs back into my PowerPoint. So because this care partner had asked me to up my game on my worksheets, he saved my presentation.
That's fantastic.
And what's nice about this is the same person and other people walk up to me and say, you know that slide, I think you need to do this. This doesn't quite make sense here. I need you to, you know, like when you've spent enough time with me, I'm guessing you know how to help me do it better. Like DuPont, we help things. What is that? What is their phrase? We make things better, or we do things better.
Yeah.
And so the thing about the work within the community is, you know, people know that I'm not a people pleaser. I really want to give them the value for their time. Mm-hmm. Whether we're doing a one-on-one or we're doing a workshop, I want to make sure your time, it wasn't felt like as if it was wasted, right?
Yeah.
And so that is one of the biggest successes. When someone walks up to me and says, I've got an idea, I'm always thinking, oh, all right, let's go. What do you got?
Yeah. And I think that's amazing, because then it feels much more communal.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times individuals who are going through these life-changing experiences kind of wonder if they're going to be doing it alone on some level, whether that, and I think, and I'm not saying this to sound negative, but you can have the whole family in the room and still feel like you're going through this alone, you know.
Yeah.
It does happen. So it's good to know that I can join a community of individuals who understands what's happening, how to help me with what's happening, and plan for a future. Because I think a lot of people, when they get a diagnosis, automatically write that off, a future.
Well, and that's why I'm so careful about couching certain numbers or figures. You know, some people say, oh, I've looked at the internet. Those are the words you never want to hear, right? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
I have 5 to 7 years to live. And I say, that's when we talk about earlier, people noticing things are happening and an earlier diagnosis, that's a whole different story than 10 and 20 years, you know, previously. 10 and 20 years ago, you know, people were getting diagnosed later in the situation. And so now people have a whole lot of life to live.
Yeah.
And when you say that, you know, that community is a big thing. And so we're talking about how do we assist? How do we adjust? How do we adapt? So if you're starting to notice changes, do we need to start doing automatic bill pay? And what can we do to help your life feel less frustrating so that everything you do doesn't just remind you of how much is changing? How can we think of this as accommodations. How can we accommodate what's happening, right? Okay, this is what it is, and how are we going to outthink it? How are we going to outsmart it?
Mm-hmm. Get ahead of it, right?
Yeah, and I don't want to sound too optimistic, but the bottom line is people who are going through this and families that are living through this, they're apprehensive. They're full of anxiety. They are walking through, should I even, you know, one of my examples is, should I buy this pan, you know? I mean, yeah. Every single decision they are making is seen through the lens of, you know, what is this future going to look like?
What's tomorrow going to be?
And I am not a therapist, but I would say that talking about uncertainty can be very, very helpful.
Yes, it can. That I will verify as somebody who had a whole lot of it in their life. Heather, I've run out of time with you. Just real quick, how does somebody get a hold of you one more time?
One of the easiest ways you can get a hold of me is to dial our number, and that's 307-461-5955. You can either call me on that number or you can text me. You can also call the Hub, and my email is hcomstock@thehubsheridan.org.
Heather, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you, and thanks for having the conversations that are so hard. I greatly appreciate it. All right, when we return, we're going to speak with Uprising. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Tired of paying rent to your landlord every month? At 751 Avoca, you have the chance to own and customize 4,000 square feet of flexible office space. With four separate entrances, you can even lease out part of the building and become the landlord yourself. This property is ADA compliant with high-tech systems. There's ample off-street parking and room to expand just one block off Coffeen. It's the perfect location for medical, dental, therapy, or professional offices. Call Amity Allman with 307 Real Estate at 307-683-6673 or on the web at amityallmanhomes.com.
Rapp Plumbing and Heating can handle any job you have, big or small. From new construction to a pesky leaking toilet, the professionals at Rapp Plumbing and Heating are here to assist you. Drippy faucet? Sure. New shower hardware? No problem. Plumbing an entire new house? For sure. Clogs that need snaked? Oh yeah. Rapp Plumbing and Heating has not met a job they can't handle. Too big a crap? Call Dan Rapp at 429-1196.
Legends say the opal holds lightning trapped within its heart, a stone of mystery, once feared but long cherished for its beauty and magic, especially for those with October birthdays. This October, celebrate your own legend with glowing fire opals or shimmering white opals in timeless designs crafted to enchant. Dare to wear the magic of opal from Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main and online at LegacyDiamondGems.com, where every piece tells a story.
This time of year, everything in Wyoming gets tested. Your patience with the wind, your brakes on the ice, and especially your roof. At Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors, we know Wyoming weather, and we make sure that your roof passes the test. Our metal roofing, impact-resistant shingles, and expert work keep your cold out and the comfort in. Working with insurance, we take the hassle out of your hands. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors or visit us at Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Thank you.
morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by the Executive Director of Uprising, Terry Markham, and Uprising Board Member, Mike Alzheimer. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Morning.
Now, Terry, for those new to Uprising, it has been a while since I've had you on the show, but you're pretty busy. Can you give me a quick overview of what your organization does here in Sheridan and across the Cowboy State?
Yeah, so we're an anti-human trafficking and anti-exploitation-based organization. So the majority of our work centers around bringing information to our communities about what exploitation looks like and how to prevent that, especially with youth, and how to respond to it if it's already happening.
And I really appreciate you because there's a lot of things that are happening we don't see on the surface. And those of us, born in the 80s and the early 90s and the 70s, we don't think about how they're utilizing different technologies to stay ahead of the game and to commit these crimes. What trends are you seeing right now when it comes to exploitation and human trafficking, even just within our region?
I think right now what we're seeing a lot of that's changing and trending a lot is a lot of the online-based exploitation. So I know I've talked about it a lot when I've come on previously, but, you know, we're seeing kids who are being reached out to through gaming platforms, through social media, through all of the different apps and things that they're using, and people are basically scamming them and tricking them and coercing them through those platforms in order to harm them. So one of the things I feel like I'm seeing the most of right now is probably sextortion. This isn't new. It's been around for a little while, but sextortion is when someone gets your nude images or videos, gets that content from you, and then they're threatening you with it. So a lot of times what that threat looks like is if you don't do X, Y, or Z, I'm going to take these photos I have of you and I'm going to send them to your parents. I'm going to send them to your school, to everyone on your friends list. I'm going to plaster them around your community and I'm going to ruin your life. And what usually they're going to ask for is money or something like money. You know, it might be digital Amazon gift cards, stuff like that. It might be things that are worth money, like in the gaming platforms. You know, there's games like Fortnite that a lot of kids play, and we're seeing things where they're saying, hey, send me these Fortnite skins. It's an in-app purchase that they can transfer over to that exploiter, and that exploiter, those are valuable. They can sell those. Sometimes kids don't have money, though, right? So sometimes they might ask for continued content. Well, now you're going to send me a picture like this every single day, or I'm going to release these, because sexual content of minors, unfortunately, is like a currency for pedophiles. And so that's very valuable, too. And then the other thing that we see is contacts. So it might be like, send me 10 of your friends' phone numbers.
Oh, my God.
And that, of course, is more potential victims. Yeah, we actually had, there was a case that ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children, had that originated out of Laramie a couple years ago, and that person was asking for contacts a lot. So it was kind of swirling through a sports team in the high school. And one kid actually reached out for help, come to find out it was a sextortion case. When all was said and done in this case, they found over 900 victims across the U.S. 23 were here in Wyoming. And when they finally found the exploiter, it was some dude in Malaysia. And so that's one way it can look. It can be like the stranger on the internet, large scale. But I've also had where I've been presenting in a school and I had a kid come up to me at a high school in Rock Springs and say, hey, can I talk to you after our presentation? And turns out they had a classmate that was collecting nudes from all the kids and then threatening them with it. So I also see it on that like peer-to-peer level too.
Wow. How do we combat this, Terry? I mean, it's every time I think I'm ahead of the game,
yeah,
something new comes up.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think the best way to combat it is to just talk about it. It's kind of one of those things that it's
probably going to come up. It's so prevalent now that it's happening in like every single high school, every county in Wyoming has sextortion cases, both active and past. And so we just need to talk about it. Kids just need to know that this is a possibility, because what we're seeing that is very frightening to me is that when this happens to a kid, of course, they feel like this is the end of the world. It's the worst thing that they can think of. And they feel very much alone in that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they sent an image, right? That's how this person has that image or that video to threaten them. So they're scared they're going to get in trouble.
Shame.
And so we need to let the kids know, like, hey, the people who get these images from you, they're master manipulators. They are very good at getting that content and making it feel like you chose to send it. And so you're not going to get in trouble for putting that content out there. Our only thing that we want to do is make sure that that kid is safe. Because unfortunately, we're seeing some really severe cases of this. Actually, my friend who is an investigator for Montana DCI was just telling me in the last 12 months they've had 3 teen deaths by suicide that they were able to connect to sextortion cases. And so that's my big fear, is like kids feeling isolated and alone and scared and not coming forward when it happens to them or someone they know. And so I think just talking about it combats that. Because if they know, like, this is a really common thing, maybe they'll think twice when someone's trying to get that content from them. And if they send it anyway and they get into the situation, hopefully they'll just reach out for help. Because ICAC is very good at investigating these cases. And if they open a case, they're typically solving it and putting that person away for a long time. Even the guy in Malaysia, they got him arrested.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was insane.
Now, for parents who may have trouble starting these types of conversations, what advice would you give them to sit the kid down, or kids, and just start? Just say, hey, look, this is a thing that happens. You all have phones, so I want this information.
Absolutely. I think if your child has access to the internet in any way, shape, or form, you have to be having these conversations.
Yeah, let me backpedal on that. I said phones, but there's a lot more.
All the things.
All the
tablets, the computer, the games, online gaming. I mean, even through your smart TVs, you know, they can have conversations now. So if they're using technology, which pretty much every kid is, you probably need to be having an age-appropriate conversation. So that looks really different for every age group. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of conversation starters. The best advice is come to an uprising class. Shameless plug, because that's exactly what we talk about in parent caregiver classes. But sometimes it's as easy as like, hey, if anyone's trying to show you, you know, images where people's private parts are shown, that might be a red flag.
Yep.
Someone's trying to get content from you. And now, unfortunately, it's not even someone's trying to ask you for nudes. Now with AI, you know, in Photoshop and the deep fakes, now you have to be cautious with any photos.
Any picture of your face can be put on this type of material.
A clean photo of your face or your full body can be manipulated to make it look like someone has that nude image, and then they can still try to threaten you with it.
And then they go with the exploitation from, or sexploitation from there.
Yeah.
I created this one image, and now I want real ones, or I'm going to give this to your parents.
Yeah. And that's scary for a kid too.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like taking away that stigma of not talking about those things. That's what we need to do. We need to talk about the things that are uncomfortable with our kids, because that's just the world they're living in with all this technology.
I've had these conversations with my own child, going from junior high into high school. But from what I hear, I should have been having this conversation much earlier.
I'm a proponent of, as soon as your child has the ability to understand their bodily autonomy and what their body parts are, that's when you should start having conversations. Now, of course, conversation with a 3-year-old looks a lot different than a conversation with a 15-year-old, but there's ways to start putting in those protections where it's a constant conversation as they're growing, and you're shifting that as they mature to more and more eventually where you're going to talk about sexual content and stuff, you know, And for Uprising, like, we go into elementary schools. You know, last year we did Coffeen, for example, and we trained the entire school in one day. And what that really looked like was we just focused on, hey, here's an acronym that we could teach the kids that was real simple. It's called SCRAP, and each one of those letters stands for something. And those are all the red flags to look out for in your online and in-person conversations. And so it was a real simple thing that we can also teach parents so that they can have that conversation with their kids. So that's a big thing for me is red flags.
Yeah.
What do kids need to look out for? We need to give them some hints and some clues of, like, here's some of the ways that people are tricking kids, and teach them those things.
Now, for individuals who want to get involved, people who may think, you know what, if we had some sort of event to really kick this off, get everybody in the same location so we can start these tough conversations. Say you go to this event, you have a great time. On the way home, hey, so why don't you tell me what you and your friends have been talking about, and is anybody experiencing any problems? What do you got coming up? We got a bingo remix night.
Yeah. So if you have a teen, this is a great one. We have a group of teens who actually plan events, and they're sort of peer leaders when it comes to exploitation around the community. And so they've planned a remix bingo, which is basically like a party bingo. Like, think black lights, live DJ, music, not your mom's bingo, you know?
A fun event.
Yeah, this is like a fun, high-energy event. We have boxes and boxes of Labubus, and if you don't know what those are, you're lucky, but they're a popular thing right now. So we're going to be giving away Labubus and silly prizes that teens like. And so that's happening with our partners at 307 Discovery Center, and it's this Friday night at 7 p.m. So 7 to 10, we're saying teens 12 and up are welcome to come. If you're a parent of one of those teens, you're welcome to sit in on that as well. But yeah, we're going to just try to create a safe space for teens to come hang out, have a fun time, and do something, you know, that's just totally fun for them. And it's a great way to get them connected. Like I said, a lot of our teens who are well-versed in these topics will be there. And, you know, if they want to take another step to get involved, that's a good place to start.
Have some peers.
Yes.
Get up and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it really makes an impact.
Yeah. They will listen to their peers more than the adults, for sure.
Than me. Some so it's a good old tactic. Person, right? Mike, you're a board member.
Yes.
You guys have got a strong partnership at Forge Gym with Uprising. You guys are a safe place in the community. Anyone can go to. Anyone can have a conversation. And ladies and gentlemen, you haven't seen this individual. This is not a man that you don't feel safe around. But you also have events.
Mm-hmm.
During these events, they're fun, but do you have conversations? Do you say, hey, does anyone need to talk? If so, Terry's over there or so-and-so's over here.
Yeah, so what we're going to be having is another round of the Scary Things Showdown. We had it last year. So it's a deadlift competition / Halloween party. So obviously everyone's going to be in costumes. There's going to be good food, drink. It was just really fun last year. It was just a good time. It's not serious. It's not like a competition. We're just trying to have everybody go lift, and we're trying to hit a total of 10,000 pounds, and then we're going to match a donation if we reach that goal.
Oh, fantastic.
But yeah, last year we had a really good turnout. It's open to anybody, like not just the lifters. We had people just show up to watch and just, you know, partake in it. And but yeah, with your question, yeah, that's what the whole purpose of it is bring my community that we have at our gym and just start those conversations, just make them aware of what Uprising is doing. And, you know, we'll have a good time, but hopefully, and it does, like, spur on conversations that we can have later and let people know what we're doing with Uprising.
Where and when is that going to take place?
So the event will be October 25th at Sheridan Ironworks, our gym at Forge. It's 302 A Street, and the event will be from 4 to 8 p.m.
Mike, how long have you been a board member up there? A little over a year?
I think it's been 2 years now.
Yeah,
just
2 years?
October, I think I crossed the 2 year mark. Yeah.
In that amount of time, and I'm running out of time, but I do want to know,
Terry has educated me and my listeners so much. Mm-hmm. But being as involved as you are, what would you say is the most shocking thing that you've learned that you just didn't know? Like, for me, obviously, it's the game consoles, because mm-hmm. I didn't think about that as a communication device at all.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I had a naivete of, like, how safe Wyoming we think would be, being, like, a yeah. small state, small community. I've lived in big cities before, and then, you know, you're aware of that, and you'd think that'd be more prevalent there, but it's very still prevalent here, and hearing stories and hearing statistics and hearing about how much it does actually happen here. And like one thing I learned too is it's like it's very common that victims of this are like with family members or close neighbors or people they know, like coaches and stuff. So just hearing like that, you know, it's something that we, and I think too, just how little it's talked about.
Yeah.
It can be, I guess, an uncomfortable conversation. It's such a dark topic, and how little people actually do discuss it. So once I was a part of the board and then just having these conversations, and hearing how, like when I would share what I was learning with my community or friends, how little people know about it. And so I think Uprising is doing such a great thing, and it's so important that we're starting with the education, the awareness part, because it isn't talked about, and it's, I think it's neglected heavily, like in our communities and nationwide across the globe. Like there's just not enough conversation about it.
Yeah. I think subjects like sextortion. Okay, I was on the right track there. Are so hard because we don't want, and maybe this is the case for some people, maybe it's not. But there's the old saying, you talk about the devil and he shows up, right? Mm-hmm. So if we just don't talk about it, everything's going to be okay. But the real way to combat this, sit the kids down. Have these conversations. Let them know there are bad actors out there. They're on there for only one reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to think that something like video games has been invaded, maybe that's the part that really troubles me more than anything else, because that's, for me, that's my release. Mm-hmm. I get to go there. I don't have to worry about anything. You know, and even when I was in college, your homework's done. Go play some video games. It's a fun place. It's not a dangerous place, but the landscape has changed. And I think that's something that we all need to realize. Mm-hmm. The landscape has changed, and so we have to adapt to it to keep our children safe. Mm-hmm. Terry, I'm out of time with you. One more time, when can I attend the bingo?
Bingo is this Friday for teens 12 and up at Discovery 307 Center, 7 p.m., and it's free.
And folks, if you ever need someone to go talk to, there's some big guys down there lifting up at Forge. Yes, tell me sir. The address one more time.
302 A Street. It's the Sheridan Ironworks building. Big Sheridan Ironworks sign on top of it, so it's hard to miss.
And you have designated this as a safe place for
yes,
anyone.
Sir. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
So there you go, folks. I want to thank you so much for coming in and having these tough conversations with me, because as a parent, I think I needed some guidance to help me sit my own child down. And so I hope that's what we're providing today. Knowledge is power. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Tax-paying residents that reside in a single-family residential
structure. 930 KROE, Sheridan.
KROE.